Amen. Father God, we just praise you. We glorify you, Father, for the times that we're in. It's so exciting right now, Lord, to understand that we're so close to this, the anointing and all the things that goes with it, Father. We praise you. We thank you that tonight's going to be an awesome time. Thank you, Father, for being with us, leading us and guiding us. And, Lord, let it be a time of revelations, new revelations tonight, and that people would understand that we're close at hand with you coming back in your man-child ministry and the bride coming to help out. Father, we praise you, we glorify you for all that you're doing in us. In Jesus' name, Father, forgive us for any kind of distractions that may be hindering our walk with you. Lord, we thank you that we've got our mind and our eyes focused on you and only on you. And thank you, Father, for teaching us that when you're in us, the power of the universe is there. And Father God, we just praise you and we thank you that every time that we worship you, Lord, that is commune time with you. And we praise you and we thank you, Lord, that we are one together when we do that. Thank you, Lord. Glory be to God. All right. Thank you, Lord, for all the healings, all the answers to prayer tonight. In Jesus' name, amen. All right. Is there any prayer requests tonight? Yeah, Teresa.
I was just watching a video about the fires in California right now, and Julie's in California. And so, you know, the way I would pray, I'm not sure it's God's prayer. I would pray, God, just get her out of there. And so, but, you know, however we would pray, you know, concerning God's people there.
Amen. Well, Father God, we just pray just what Teresa said. Lord, we thank you for getting your elect out of the way of these fires in natural ways or supernatural, ever have what it takes to get them out of there. And we thank you for it, Father. Not only that, Lord, that it would be a testimony to your goodness to your people. And we praise you for it, Father, in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you, Lord. Y'all believe it? I believe it. Thank you, Jesus.
Amen.
Okay, anybody else? You got anything else, Teresa?
I can't think of anything else. I mean, we're doing fine here.
Okay, praise God.
I just want to keep praying that, you know, because I am spending time with my kids, and sometimes squabbles come up. And so I just want to pray that, you know, that God is just continually working in us. I pray for him every day. And that where we need to walk in love, we're walking in love. And, you know, and we're getting along just fine. And that, you know, that we have the provision that we need. And, you know, because we're his sheep. He's our shepherd. We're believers. You know, and so I guess that was it.
Okay. Praise God. Lord, we thank you for keeping peace in the family all the time, that you're always evident, Lord. In Jesus' name.
Amen. In Jesus' name.
Amen. Has anybody else got a prayer request? I would like to pray. Well, I want to pray in the name of Jesus right now. I command this weather to go around us that they're calling about 3 to 6 inches of snow. We rebuke that in the name of Jesus. Command it to go out from this mountain. This mountain will not have snow on it. In Jesus' name. Thank you, Father. Oh, glory be to God. Amen. All right. Anybody got a testimony? Praise report. It's going to be a quick night. Thank you, Jesus. All right, I got a song for y'all. Let's see if we can get her up here. You got one too? Okay. All right, y'all ready? Well, what happened? There it is.
God, Jehovah, Jehovah Rapha, you're our healer, you and you alone, and we will trust you, Jehovah Rapha, you're our healer, you and you alone. In the middle of the dark, in the thick of sorrow, you say, look up to where our help comes from. If everything around us says there is no hope, we're never gonna let go the hem of your own. No. God, Jehovah, Jehovah Rapha, you're our healer, you and you alone. We will trust you, Jehovah Rapha, you're our standing on the promise, the foundation of your word. Everyone is here who comes before you, Lord. We're leaning on your power. You do what can't be done, no. Even now or forever, we know it's gonna come. God, Jehovah, Jehovah Rapha, you're our healer, you and you alone, yeah. We will trust you, Jehovah Rapha, you're our depression, every worry, every sickness, Lord, you heal. All addiction, every family, every heartbreak, Lord, you heal. Gonna do it. You're gonna do it. Jehovah Rapha, we know you will. You're gonna do it. You're gonna do it. Jehovah Rapha, we know. God, Jehovah, Jehovah Rapha, you're our healer, you and you alone. You're our healer, you and you alone. God, Jehovah, Jehovah Rapha, you're our healer, you and you alone. And I will trust you, Jehovah Rapha, you're our healer, you and you alone.
I'm reminded tonight that we join in every
Okay, Julie, you got it.
Oh,
Thank you, Lord. That was a good one. Look with me. 2 Peter. Chapter 1. I'm going to read 2 through 4. Second Peter. Chapter 1, verses 2 through 4. Grace to you and peace be multiplied in the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord, seeing that His divine power has granted to us all things that pertain to life and godliness through the knowledge of Him who called us by His own glory and virtue, by which He has granted to us His precious and exceedingly great promises, that through these you may become partakers of the divine nature, having escaped from the corruption that is in the world by lust. I just want to talk about it. Let y'all talk about it. Let's all talk about it. What does this mean to you? What does this mean to us as people of Christ? What does it mean to you in respect to your salvation? What does it mean to you in respect to healing? What does it mean to you in respect to deliverance or any of the promises that God has given to us? And to preface that, what happened at salvation? What happened at the baptism of the Holy Spirit? I'm waiting. Those are questions that I'm asking to prompt y'all to think about who we are in Christ and what we are capable of doing, and are we doing it? And there are some things that I believe that I've missed in the past, I'll just be honest with you, that I'm seeing now more and more that's available to us. Go ahead, Andrew.
Well, we have been privileged to hear from the Lord that we partake of a brand new life in Christ Jesus. And with the baptism of the Holy Spirit, we have the power to live that life on a daily basis. We should never shun from it or accept anything else. For even sometimes, you know, there is a foreign entity that's trying to tell us that we're not that, and we have the power over that too. because God left us in a position so high. He left his people in a position higher than the angels, who, and of which some of them minister to us who are heirs of salvation. And I find that these angels are wonderful beings who have kept their principality. But even the ones who fell, we have authority over those things by which our Father has the right to test us through his Holy Spirit. Even as he tested his Son when he was filled with the Holy Spirit, when he fasted for 40 days and 40 nights. And there isn't a thing that he hasn't promised us, that he hasn't promised us. And all that said, you know, we might miss out on some things, but the Lord is preparing us not to miss out anymore. And that's the only way I can put that part. And praise and glory to God. There is no more corruption in us.
Amen.
Because that's what it says. And what God says goes. And he is Father. We are children maturing as sons and daughters. And he loves us. And he loves us in ways that sometimes he even might have to chasten us. But we are always determined to do what our Father wants us to do. We want to please Dad, just like you were when you were a younger person. We want to please him. And can you imagine how happy you were when you did please your earthly father? But how much more happy would you be knowing that you are truly loving the Almighty God and Father who created you, who set all things in order and has everything ready set up for you to follow, to give to you. And you must be determined for it, courageous even, for it. We have read and read and read his New Testament so many times now. And we must have this example. You know, I often say there's parables in here. And I was told the whole Bible's a parable. But every man, woman, and child on this planet is a parable, whether they're in Christ or not in Christ. They will follow their narrative, their word. But we follow God's word. And we have that parable. In Jesus' name. Every life is a parable. We need an eternal word for an eternal life. And God's word is the only eternal word. Praise God. And that's what it means to me. And Amen. We're in his name for sure. We're in his name, or we wouldn't be talking to each other here, and there would be given discernment. And even though some of us may, we need to have quality in the discussion of our Lord. And the amazing power of his word.
Amen.
And for no word of God shall be void of power. We have access to it all the time. Praise God.
Amen. That's good, Andrew. Go ahead, Pat.
I was thinking of, I stopped on the first three three or four words there. It says, grace to you and peace be multiplied in the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord. And it's interesting that he uses the word multiplied, and I probably should have looked that up to see what it is, but in the Greek, but he didn't just say grace and peace to you be added, but he said be multiplied. Because I guess I was thinking about, maybe I ought to read down a little bit, since his divine power, that is the word power or dunamis, and not the authority, it's the power. His divine power hath granted us all things unto life and godliness. And that word, obviously, power hath granted us is, you know, it is a past tense. It's already been done. And, all things unto life and godliness through the knowledge of him, through his knowledge, which speaks of applied grace or his unmerited influence upon our heart being multiplied. Is that multiplied factor in there? But if we don't do anything with that truth, it doesn't multiply. It doesn't function in the way it was created to function. So, I mean, this truth is, it stands on its own, but it's connected with the next one, the next verse. But basically, that power hath granted us all things that pertain into life through that knowledge. And verse 4, whereby he hath, again, past tenth, granted us the precious and exceeding great promises, that through these ye may become partakers of the divine nature. And I was thinking, I was listening to a message on the way to work today, and I started thinking about, I mentioned Tuesday night, I think I was talking about, you know, what is life? What is the life of Jesus in us is, I believe, is connected with that awareness of his person becoming aware of the righteousness of that life, his life, and seeing it within us, or partaking of it, and you know, the whole concept of sanctification and receiving his life within us is that what is already there in the form of awareness or thought processes, memories, nature, the nature that, and attitudes and various different things within us has to die in that replacement, believing we receive that transference of his life by allowing a portion of what we had believed or previously resided there within our heart has to die in order to make room for him. And how is that done in verse 4, whereby he granted us the precious and exceeding great promises, that through these you may become partakers of the divine nature. Through these, well, how do you become partakers of his divine nature? You don't do it just by simply reading this verse and say, okay, it was already done. You have to believe it, number one. And I believe we have to believe that it is available to us. And I think we have to go down to the detail level. In other words, simply by saying, God's given us these precious, exceeding great promises that through these we may become divine partakers. Now you have to ask God to lead you to the particular exceeding great promise that you may be needing to reevaluate as whether or not you really believe it or you understand it or you, have I partaken in this, Lord? Is this functioning here within me? A couple of days ago or whatever, I think I mentioned it on the call here, something that the Lord showed me. I'm sitting here babbling now, but I can't remember exactly now what I was talking about. But I've read the verse 1,000 times probably, and read that line, those verses around it. And for some reason, this day, a few days ago, it hit me. And I think it had to do with the fact that there was a mindset that I was functioning in that was thinking the answer to these, of these precious promises that we're talking about here was somewhere out there. It was outside of me. It was, and I had to find a way, by coming to God and in prayer and whatever act or of worship or whatever understanding or prayer release or whatever, in order to obtain it and bring it to me. I think it was Romans 10, 5 through 10 or whatever. And obviously, the Lord slashed that into my understanding and awareness that I was actually residing in that mindset that the scripture spoke against and told us not to. Don't be thinking it's out there. It's in you. I've already put it in you, And so just in the awareness of that and understanding that that I was not believing that scripture. I was not appropriating, or I was not abiding in it properly or with proper understanding. You know, there was a small shift in my heart, in my mind, saying, no, that is in me. Those precious promises are in me already. All I have to do is release them. And so it's through these precious promises that having believed, going through the process, having believed it, and following on with the Lord and allowing them to be released and expressed, is the revealing of that divine nature within us, because it comes from His word within us being released out of us. So this is kind of a, you know, this verse, these verses here are kind of add along with, you know, what the Lord has been kind of teaching me, and I'm sure us, through this whole process. So anyway, I think that's probably all I had to say on that. Anyway, praise the Lord.
Amen. I guess, let me lock it down a little bit closer. How, with everything that we know from the scriptures, the promises and all of those, how is it possible for us to walk in the spirit rather than the flesh, since He's already given us everything that we need? How do we bring the Spirit of God to the surface more than our flesh? Go ahead, Missy.
Well, if I believe the Lord's promises, then I cease from my works. He ceased from His works, therefore we cease from our works. He said it is finished, and it's done. Jesus on the cross. So everything, he's given me everything He is and has. He is our inheritance. So everything He is mine. So I cease from my works, and that's my works is the flesh. So I speak in agreement with Him. I confess Him. I confess His word. I act in accordance to what I believe, even before I see it. That's just what to me it is. Obedience to the word is walking in the spirit. That's what I, simply put, consider walking in the spirit.
Okay. Yep, that's a lot of it. Go ahead, Pat. Julie. I've got something I want to say, but I'm going to wait until you get through.
In a lot like what Missy was saying, you know, so you put on the Lord Jesus Christ, you know, that's, and make no provision for the flesh. And it's applying faith that it's no longer I who live, it's Christ who lives in me. And that his spirit is in me. The Holy Spirit is in me. Staying in the word. You know, keep reading the word. Keep feeding your spirit, man. You know, praying constantly, you know, or pray unceasingly. Because if we catch ourselves, you know, doing something, being distracted, or, you know, making a mistake, or, you know, you realize you failed somewhere again. Oh, I failed again. You know, and, but, you know, it's like we're supposed to get our mind and our eyes off of ourselves and just say, no, I died. I don't live anymore. Christ lives in me. My sins were nailed to that cross. And I'm, you know, we're all justified by faith. It's all going to come back to faith in the truth and applying the word, endurance, patience. It's not a one simple thing. It's just, it's already mine. It's confessing it's mine. Jesus gave it to me. He died to give me himself, right? So. But you probably have something specific because we already have everything because of his sacrifice through his blood.
Amen. That's good. Yeah, that's good. That's a lot of it. Go ahead, Pat.
Well, I think this, for me, is kind of the crux of the matter. In other words, a how to make it happen type of thing. And that is, you know, with that word, residing within us, the only, obviously believing in that word and, you know, continue to read and pray and receive enlightenment from the Lord, and it is one aspect of it, because once you become aware of certain aspects of the word, then, and we realize that he has put his word and his life, mm-hmm. he has put the spirit of Jesus within us, then the obvious next step is, so how do I get it out? Well, it only comes out through this body expressing it. So, and it will happen either through action, or the main thing that, you know, that we have learned. And quite frankly, I think it's the most absolute, most powerful, is there in Romans 10:9, because if thou shalt confess the word with thy mouth that Jesus is Lord, and shalt believe in thy heart that God raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. Obviously, there, that's the pattern or the foundation. With the mouth, we confess what we believe in our heart. For with the heart, one believes unto righteousness, and with the mouth, one confesses unto salvation. And believe it or not, I think where the biggest battle in our life, the biggest place where opposition can hinder us, and obviously it is the flesh, but it functions in preventing that aspect of the truth to take place. The biggest battleground is between our heart and our mouth. And this is what I've discovered for my own life, that, you know, obviously we, the first thing that the Lord taught me as a beginning Christian was to shut my mouth. And when, you know, if I'm in a situation or, you know, something that would bring up something in me that I want to react, the first thing we're going to do, Pat, is we're going to teach you to shut your mouth, humble yourself, and just be quiet and listen and take what's coming to at you. And that's an important, you know, aspect. Just quit using your mouth to get yourself in trouble. And then as time goes on, you know, we learn not to speak against the word, you know, to shut up, keep our mouth, keep quiet. Don't speak against the word or against the truth or whatever it would be. And then there's a point in time when you have to take a proactive stance and fight against that. And I believe that's one of the, again, I believe that's where the biggest battle is now taking that word and agreeing, you know, and maybe another step in there is simply agreeing with the word, and functioning, trying to function as best you can in that word and seek God and allow him to reveal other things or things that are hindering that process from taking place. But then there has to be a practical speaking forth of the truth of that word. You know, and not only just keeping my mouth quiet, but now taking that word and using that word as a sword and overcoming what? Overcoming my flesh, overcoming that space between my heart and my mouth, and overcoming it with that word and releasing me from inside to be able to express that life, to be able to unify with that word and speak forth. And again, that's these precious promises. Now we are learning to speak forth these precious promises, and stand in them. And not only is the battle within us, but now there's a battle outside, because there's going to be resistance outside of us in that process as well. And I think that one of the most important places to be in utilizing our mouth in proactively taking his word into battle is through actually thanksgiving and praising him in the midst of that battle. Because at that point, you're totally, I won't say defenseless, you're totally at the mercy of God. You're totally dependent upon Him and proactively trusting in Him as well through our praise and our worship and our thanksgiving. So to me, I believe this is where the release, this is where the release is at. And I think that's the greatest place where the flesh is neutralized in our life in doing that. Now I'm saying this, even in the midst of my battles right now in doing the very same thing, claiming, the healing of God and still battling through the appearances and all that sort of thing. But there, and I'm looking for a greater breakthrough in my life. I'm looking for a great breakthrough in my life, and I know it's coming. So I think Angelica even expressed some of my sentiments today and some of the things that she was saying on Signal. But anyway, so the bottom line, I think, is our body has to be engaged, and the major part of our body that has to be engaged is our mouth. So that's what I'm thinking, Michael.
Okay. All right. The next thing that I want to get into, it pertains to all that we've been talking about, but where I'm going with this is what I just said a while ago. How do we bring forward the Spirit of God in us do you know how many of you when you praise how many of you know what worship means you know what worship means it means communion didn't it? It means communion with God. You're praising God. You can have communion with Him. And when you praise God in worship, I don't know about y'all, but when I'm praising God in worship stuff, a lot of times I feel the presence of God. A lot of times I know that God's right there with me, you know. And, well, He is. He already is. He's right here with me. God is right here with me. He goes everywhere that I go. And if God is with me, how is it that I can capture, and I'm using expressions here that you'll understand, capture the essence of walking in Him all the time? Because that's what our, and some of you have touched on it a little bit. And what comes to my mind is looking in the mirror and seeing Jesus every day in us and believing it and keeping that forward in our imagination all day long so that, and this is where I'm going with it, If we see a need out there, we don't hesitate, and we're bold because, like Jesus was, He had compassion on the people. And knowing that when you touch someone for healing or deliverance or whatever it is, you know that the power that's in you, and we all have it, everybody that's saved has this power, that the power in you will go forth in them and do whatever it is that needs to be done. if it's a healing, a deliverance, a circumstance, or whatever, you know that you know that you know that it's going to be done. Because he said this in those three verses. In the fourth verse, I'm sorry, I've lost my place here. Here, no.
2 Peter 1:4.
Yeah. 2 Peter, read it for me.
Whereby he hath granted unto us his precious and exceeding great promises, that through these ye may become partakers of the divine nature.
Oh, having right there.
I have his divine nature.
Yeah. We are partakers of his divine nature. And if we are partakers of his divine nature, then we walk in divine health. We walk in everything that Jesus walked in, because he has granted unto us his precious and exceeding great promises. And the point that I'm getting at, and as you can probably see where I'm going with this, is that when the time comes for us to start doing the things that God has asked us to do, we don't hesitate, because we know that we know that we know that Jesus' power is in us to go ahead and bring the kingdom of God down here to earth as we walk through wherever it is we're going. Because Jesus lives in us. The Holy Spirit, the most powerful force in the world, in the universe, let me put it that way, is available to each and every one of us. The problem that we have is, like Pat alluded to a while ago, is the heart, the distance between the heart and the mouth. And believing in this thing up here. And believing. When you start believing who you are in Christ, you'll start manifesting Jesus. We'll all start manifesting Jesus. Because just like your salvation. How many of you have trouble believing that you're saved? None of you. Oh, do you, Julie?
That I had a. I'll just share a testimony about that.
Okay.
That's been a trouble spot for me, because I was attacked with a. Well, let's just say there's a spirit out there that is called a spirit of what's it called? Hold on. Of losing your salvation, or something along those lines. It had me convinced that I had lost my salvation, that I was really unsure if I was saved or not. And it took me a long time to get over that, because I was going through a lot of trials, and you can't have faith and thinking that God doesn't even love you, right? That he's rejected you. So there's a spirit of, you know, you've lost your salvation, where the enemy would twist and pervert the scriptures. And you know, it was a really rocky time for me, but God saved me. The Lord has recently been teaching me some things too, and how we were talking about, you know, how we really have to know who we are in Christ, that we know we're saved. You know, the scripture and there's a really awesome song too. Keith Green has a really good song. Version of that is, created me a clean heart. created me, because, you know, David had sinned, created me a clean heart, you know. On that, you know, first part of that's kind of like a condemning thing, you know. It's like, yeah, you sinned, you know, give me a new heart. At least that's how the enemy was attacking me with it. But the Lord was showing me, it's like, well, read the rest of it and renew a right spirit in within me. And that word, a right spirit, that's ASV. What is it in a right spirit? Anyhow, that word right, that right spirit is righteousness. That we have his righteousness, you know, essentially is what it is. And that a renew a right spirit within me is like, it's how you think about yourself, that you have the righteousness of Christ, that you are walking uprightly. You're walking in truth. You're walking in the knowledge of the truth that you have. And you have to overcome all those fiery darts with, you know, the shield of faith and fight against that. So anyhow, it was just kind of a neat revelation the Lord was showing me. You know, it's about, you know, renew a right spirit. What kind of spirit do I have? I have his spirit. I have his spirit, and I have the Holy Spirit. And we know there's no unclean thing in God, so therefore there's no unclean thing in us. You know, he's holy. He's righteous. He's there's nothing dark in him, you know, and that's how he sees us. So anyhow, that's just something I wanted to share. So I don't have that problem anymore, but, you know, the enemy attacks you sometimes with, you know, just rejection and condemnation, and you start wondering, where am I? How is my walk with God, and where have I fallen from grace? And just, you know, just throws the whole kitchen sink at you, and the whole kitchen, actually, you know. So there is a spirit out there of, you know, tries to convince you you've lost your salvation. Just saying. Maybe I help somebody out there listening one day.
Well, you brought up another subject there, too. Can you lose your salvation? Yeah, of course you can. Okay. Anybody else on those three verses there? What I wanted to bring out is who we are in Christ, and encourage everybody, even myself. I encourage myself when I do this too, is to realize that you don't have to do anything other than believe that Christ is in you, and that the power of God walks with you everywhere you go. And that we can utilize, and when you put your hand on somebody to heal them or deliver them or whatever it is, for whatever reason, just believe that the God in you is going forth through you to them to heal them or deliver them. That's all you got to do. And you know that it's going to happen. You know that it's going to happen. God is not a liar. He just told us that these great, wonderful promises that he's given us, he's not going to go back on his word. He's going to fulfill them through you, through us, in the days to come. And it's going to be an awesome time. You don't have to wait for an anointing from God. You already have an anointing from God. We don't have to wait on it. It's nice, a lot of times, it's nice to have the gift of faith and the gift of healing and all of those wonderful gifts that God gives us from the Holy Spirit. But we have an eternal anointing with the Lord. All we have to do is believe that we do. And I'm talking to myself too. No, my internet connection is not unstable. In Jesus' name, get out of here, devil. Go ahead, Andrew.
So I'm just wondering if maybe we can touch a bit upon entering into the rest. because every single phrase you said there, that's the rest, that's the rest, that's the rest.
Yeah.
Because we rest in the time of the morning of the seventh day, God rested, but he's going to put things to rest now, so we have to emulate that. We have to copy God. And how do you know, as a printer, when you copy something, it's copied. You know, it looks like the original. And you have to imitate him, as it says in Ephesians 5 and 1. So if you're going to make a copy of something, you know, who do you want to imitate?
Yeah.
You know, kids watch TV and they start looking at, you know, the cartoon and they're imitating Spider-Man or whatever. I don't know if they'll imitate Fred Flintstone, but, you know, there's an imitation that happens there, you know, and it's, how quickly an imagination can rest in something, you know. I'm just throwing out ideas on this rest we have, this final sabbatismos. God's going to rest. Are you going to be in your rest when God rests? Because you know that there is a rapture resurrection, and usually people are at rest when they get resurrected from bed, you know. They've come out of their rest in place. I know that a lot of people are sleeping and they'll come out of their rest, you know, just like Martha said, and Jesus said about the little girl. She's not dead. She's only sleeping. So am I totally off base on this rest thing, you know? How are you at rest, you know? Why do we rest? Where? When? You know, what are the W5? Who, what, where, when, and why? Who are you? You know? And if we're to emulate, Jesus entered a rest, and he was only sleeping too, apparently, when he was in the tomb. So this is just coming off the top of trying to rest and figure out what rest is. You know, we have the mind of Christ. What more can you say when it says that in 1 Corinthians chapter 2 that we have the mind of Christ? There's some real restful stuff in every single chapter and almost every single verse that a person can tell you that's positive. So what is this sabbatismos in relation to what we're discussing, you know? Because if we could find that restful place, because if you're not sleeping when God's put everything to rest and we're on the morning of the seventh millennial day, and we know that there's a 7-year period too. And all these sevens, you know, we need to really identify, you know, when in chapter 24 of Matthew, he said to him about a rest that's coming in yet 7 days. And we relate to that because we know that in our day, the Lord's going to tell us when the 7 days start and to get our hearts aboard the ark in that restful place. So, I'm just trying to figure this out, you know, this rest and how it pertains to us. And you know, you enter a rest, and very close to the verses in chapter 4 of Hebrews is that restful position where it says about about God's word there, where it says living is the word of God and effective. And the rest is very close to that, you know. In him we live, move, and have our being. So how do we rest in our new life? Because we're dead to self. You know, the dead man is gone, you know, and we have rested from those works, as we often said, to enter the rest of a new life. So there are so many things here, you know. I'm just putting it out there as comments. And what was your original question, Michael, when we started?
I don't remember.
I know. It's been put to rest, and we have to remember now. What were we were just talking about? Because I know this rest thing applies. I know Pat was touching on it there on Tuesday when he mentioned chapter 10, verse 5, 6, 7, and the 8th one was the really good one, because the word is nigh you, in your mouth. And he said something very similar, I think, in 10 and 10, if you confess with your heart, you know, but if it's in you already, how come we're not resting? Or I'm not putting it that way. How come we are resting? Okay. Cause I don't want to put a negative spin on this. So praise God, glory to God. These are just comments. Don't remember that we're not resting, because we are resting. Okay. that was a slip of the tongue, and I don't want to say that part. Okay.
Amen.
Praise God.
Amen. Go ahead, Teresa.
Well, what comes to my mind is Psalm 36. God is faithful. Because Psalm 36 says, in verse 5, it says, your mercy, O Lord, is in the heavens, and your faithfulness reaches to the clouds. You know, just understanding that God is merciful to us. He's merciful when we pray for others. You know, the Lord is merciful. Thy mercy, O Lord, is in the heavens, and thy faithfulness reaches to the clouds. For his faithfulness to us reaches to the clouds. It's just, through the word, getting an understanding of the nature of God, that he is merciful, he is faithful. He does hear our prayers. You know, he requires some things of us that, you know, on our part that we need to be doing, but at the same time, his faithfulness to us reaches to the cloud. Thy righteousness is like the great mountains. Thy judgment is a great deep. O Lord, you preserve man and beast. You know, that's God's working towards us. How preserve man and beast. How excellent is your loving kindness, O God. Well, his loving kindness towards us is excellent. O God, therefore the children of men put their trust under the shadow of your wings. We just have to understand that we can trust him. That he will put us under the shadow of his wings. They shall be abundantly satisfied with the fatness of your house. And you shall make them drink of the river of your pleasures. For with you is the fountain of life. In your light shall we see light. To me, what it sounds like is it's a matter of trusting and understanding who God is. Oh, continue your loving kindness to them that know you, and your righteousness to the upright in heart. Well, you know, he creates his righteousness in us. He creates us to be his upright in heart, and we believe it, receive it, and loose it. You know, bind what ought not to be, bind what needs to be bound, and loose what needs to be loosed. And so anyway, that's all I had to say on that.
Okay. Go ahead, Pat.
One thing I've been thinking about, I was listening to some of the stuff from Curry, Blake, and one of the things that came out that is so. What are we talking about when we are looking in the mirror? Corinthians 3:18. What are we looking at and seeing Jesus? Our imagination is engaged, but we're looking into the mirror of the Word of God, and seeing Jesus revealed in that Word, and realizing that He lives in us through His Word, through the believing and the expression of everything and everything we were talking about before. And so one of the things that I was pondering today, and that is, and it may be connected with this whole mindset of thinking, I need something more from the Lord. I need to, whether it be an anointing or more of His Spirit or more of, the baptism or more of whatever, I need something more in order to get over the hump or whatever it would be, whatever that hump is in my mind, let's just say, maybe connected with that mindset, that's the realization. If we read through the scripture, we see where Jesus sent out His disciples, in various places. I just jotted a few of them down there, in Luke, 10, where he, what's it say? Jesus sends out the 72. And this was I'll read a few things, but basically he sent them out, and verse 9, verse 8, whatever city you go into, enter, and they receive you, eat, and what is set before you, and cure the sick therein, and say to them, the kingdom of God is within you. Another one was in Luke 9. He sent them forth to preach the kingdom of God and to heal. Matthew 10, maybe it's the same situation, but he sent them out to, it is the same story or situation where he sent out the 12, I believe. Heal the sick, raise the dead, cleanse the lepers, cast out demons. Freely you receive, freely give. Get no gold for yourself, etc. He sent them out in the midst of his ministry of teaching them. He said, I give you authority, giving you the authority, go. They went out, and then there's a place where he sent out 70, and then they returned, giving all kinds of glowing reports. The demons are subject to us, and they healed and cleansed lepers, etc. This all happened before the giving of the Holy Spirit, because he basically said this same thing in Matthew 28, what we call the Great Commission or whatever. But that was at the end of the, you know, that was at the end just before. And, you know, he said, go, all authority has been given me in heaven and earth. Go therefore, disciple the nations, etc., teaching them all things which I have commanded you, etc. All those things, healing the sick, raising the dead, cleansing the lepers, casting out demons, etc. All of those things he gave them and gave us the authority to do based upon his word, his commandment. And that was even before, and it functioned in the disciples even before the pouring out of the Holy Spirit and the baptism of the Holy Spirit. And so the point being, you know, he said, you know, go, just before he left, he said, you know, go to Jerusalem and wait for the endowment and power, the pouring out of the Holy Spirit. But even through Acts, it showed, demonstrated many people that didn't even have this power of the Holy Spirit yet, but were still out doing these things for God. That's not, and it's not to say that we don't need to have the Holy Spirit. We don't need to be baptized in His Spirit. We don't. It's to say that we do, but these things of healing the sick, raising the dead, casting out, functioning in His authority was something that was inherent that He gave us before that endowment of power. And I guess the thing I'm trying to say is that I know that probably everybody here is waiting for, I won't say waiting, but is an anticipation of something, you know, big, you know, God's Spirit being poured out on us and you know, the anointing and the blessing and boom, is with all this that God has pent up in our heart and, you know, and taken us through and this and that. And it's going to, he's going to release us and we're going to, you know, go out and conquer the world. Well, the thought is, are we waiting for that? Are we waiting before? And I'm saying this to myself again, because it was me discovering this kind of this mindset of something's out there that's I got to get before I can, you know, do. But the disciples demonstrated that all they needed was obedience and going, obeying him. The authority was there. And so, I don't know, maybe I'm kind of you know, spitballing here to a certain degree, but I believe that there's going to be a major pouring out of God's Spirit in these last days. But I don't think that, but until that comes, I shouldn't consider myself prevented or hindered from doing those things that God has called me to do now, you know? So I don't know. Again, I guess I'm speaking to myself here more than anything, but anyway, praise the Lord. I just think that there's, you know, that we have the package. We have the package already within us. All we need to do is release it. And so, again, I'm speaking to myself more than I am anybody here. But praise you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus.
Well, there's a lot of people that are waiting when you don't need to wait. You already have everything that you need to bring the kingdom of God down to earth. We all do, or he wouldn't have told us to do that. And you're right. Mark 16:17 was as you were quoting. And these signs shall accompany them that believe. Those that believe are going to go out. I said, in my name shall they cast out demons. They shall speak with new tongues. They shall take up serpents. And if they drink any deadly thing, it shall in no wise hurt them. They shall lay hands on the sick and they shall recover. All of those things are available to give out to the lost in the dying world out there already. In us, that power of God is in us already, as we've already talked about. All we have to do is to just keep in our mind, you know, it's Jesus in me. It's not Michael. It's not Pat. It's not Andrew. It's not anybody other than Jesus in us. And he's the one that gets the glory. If the Lord had to rely on me, Michael, to heal anybody, well, Lord, I couldn't heal a gnat. But it's the Jesus in us that does it. And he's the one that gets the glory. Back when the disciples were out, and they went forth. And they went forth and preached everywhere, the Lord working with them and confirming the word by the signs that followed. How many of you know there's places in history where this happened all the way up to us at certain times? There was, you know, individuals that got a hold of the message of Christ in me, the hope of glory. Christ in me. If Christ is in me, then praise God. We can go out there and set the captives free. And we're all going to come into this. And I know that things have been taught about the anointing is coming. There is an anointing coming. It's to get this gospel out in a way that would bring a lot of people in. And I can tell you that the tribulation for the churches is fixing to happen. And when that happens, we have to be ready. We don't need to wait on anything, as we've talked about. We have to be ready. And it's going to be an awesome time, because God's going to, he's going to see who's going to walk in his compassion. That's what Jesus, if you go in there and look and see, Jesus healed people by his compassion. It says, by his compassion, by his compassion. That's love. He had love for the people, lost and saved. The covenant people and the uncovenant. He had them for both of them. The two people that have the greatest faith that Jesus came across, that we found out in the Bible, was who? Non-covenant people. Neither one of them. The centurion. And the lady that, forget her name, that was praying for her. Huh?
The Syrophoenician woman.
I can't barely hear you. Can't hear you at
I'm
all.
Sorry. Huh? I'm sorry. It was the Syrophoenician woman. She didn't really, he wasn't giving her a name per se, but that's how she was, you know.
Yeah. Yes. Non-covenant people. Now, let me ask you a question. I'm not trying to, I just want to ask you a question. Is there anybody that God won't heal? No. He'll heal anybody with faith. Just a little bit. Just a little bit. Just a very little bit. Go ahead, Teresa.
One question, just a question. What about somebody in willful disobedience?
I can tell you, I have seen that happen, and I have seen people healed because of it. You know why? You want to go ahead and pray for somebody. When you say willful disobedience, you mean somebody that is a Christian and is doing something that he knows that he shouldn't be doing and won't quit it? Is that what you're saying, calling a willful disobedient? It's hard to understand you when you're unmuted or when you're muted.
Okay.
Oh, well, that's much better.
Well, my question is, okay, well, there's the willful disobedience of believers that, you know, they may have believed at one time, then they backslid and they're just willfully disobedient and they don't care to be obedient. And then there's also people that are evil that just want to continue to do their evil. But maybe they want to be healing, but they still want to continue to do their evil. So willful disobedience, what about in those cases?
Well, like I said, I think there's more to it than just that, because I've seen people that were lost healed. I've seen them. I've seen them delivered. Too. I've seen them delivered.
Me too.
And you're talking about lost people.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Right.
Okay. I think
God's
love and his compassion and his mercy and his grace is far beyond anything. You remember when the guy that came in to John Lake, he was a Catholic. He came in on crutches. And he said, I'm a Catholic, and I don't want to hear nothing about any other religion. He said, I don't believe that God can heal. And he said, I don't believe this, I don't believe that. And Lake just laughed and got up and put his hand on him and held his elbow and let the power of God go in from him and sat there and talked to him for a few minutes. And the guy said, well, said, I got to go, and just turned around and walked out. He was healed completely.
Well, yeah. I do have one testimony about that. I had a daughter-in-law that she had my first grandbaby, and she was not going to mother that baby. And she was violent. She was cruel to that baby. And she gave, she would bring him to me because she didn't want to take care of him. So I would take care of him, and which I did till he was about 7 years old. But in the meantime, she would attack the baby. She would attack me. She would attack my son. And, I was seriously concerned about my grandson's life. I didn't, I felt like she was going to kill him. And, I wanted to pray. I God kill her, save my grandson. And, then I got kind of sick and I said, oh, I need healing. Okay. Well, I got to forgive her. So I forgave her and I started, praying, 1 Peter 2:24 over her that Jesus took her, her infirmities on himself and he freed her and cleared her. And, he took her unrighteousness and he gave her his righteousness. I started praying in line with that. She started getting saved. There were people that were going around house to house and preaching the gospel. And, And when people would do that, she would always just shut the door. Well, she let these people in, and they started ministering to her. And from that point forward, you know, she found her real mom. And she found out that the reason she was like that was because of rejection. She had never known her mom, and she was, her foster parents took really good care of her. But, you know, she felt like her real mom had rejected her. And so she developed this bitterness and hatred. But when God allowed her to find her real mom, and when she found out that she and her brother had been taken away from her mom and then given to the foster parents, and then her real mom looked and looked and looked and looked for her. Years spent, years looking for her, couldn't find her. And so, so when she found her real mom, all that disappeared. It went away. You know, all that hatred and bitterness and rejection. So, and she started healing after that, and God was taking care of her. My son and she had divorced by then. So that is one example that, you know, if somebody has somebody to pray for them, that God will heal. You know, start turning that person's life around.
Yeah. Well, like I said, his grace and his mercy far exceeds anything that we can imagine. It really does. I mean, look at me. Praise God. Go ahead, Pat. Thank you, Teresa. That was good.
You know, just a couple of things that came to my mind when, you know, I don't know how, it's maybe a little bit different bent on it, but a bent on the same thing, and that is the people that, or when Jesus was preaching, I think, in Peter's house, and people came through the roof and lowered this guy down through the roof, scripture didn't say much or anything related to that man's faith, or whether he's even a Christian or a Jew. The only thing is that Jesus saw their faith and he healed that person. What was the other one that I was thinking about? Well, I was thinking of, I can't remember. Well, obviously Lazarus. He didn't have a lot of faith being dead, and Jesus raised him up, and healed him from death. So, I guess one of the things I'm starting to recognize is that, well, if think about it, the only reason we have, one of the reasons that we have the Holy Spirit today, that the Holy Spirit was given out, was because of Abraham's faith. God ensuring that covenant he made with Abraham required that God do something additional, and that was the giving out of the Holy Spirit, the promise of the Holy Spirit. And it was, we have the Holy Spirit today because of Abraham's faith. So, and I think, you know, I have to wrap my being around this concept that healing of others and is based upon it is our responsibility to minister. It's my responsibility to minister. It's God's responsibility to do the healing. Back up his word. It's my responsibility to minister the healing. And again, I'm still thinking about this and, you know, praying about this and looking through this process, but it's not primarily connected to the person that is getting the healing. Now, but, you know, that's kind of like a foundation. There's branches that come off of that and implications that come off of that, all of that. You know, when he talked to the, you know, when I think Jesus, it's beneficial that you gain the agreement of that person, you know, when he, because, you know, agreeing, you know, and believing and agreeing and receiving that healing and learning not to speak against that healing, I believe is necessary or helpful, in maintaining or retaining that, excuse me, that healing. Just the same way it is retaining anything from God, an awareness, a truth, a position of faith, or whatever it is. You know, God gives it to us and we exercise that, but then the devil kicks into gear and he's ready. He's going to take that away from you if you don't hold on to it and keep it and push him off with a stiff arm of faith or whatever it would be. So, you know, there's a battle that takes place there. And so it's beneficial that we are engaged, you know, and our volition is engaged in maintaining or keeping or whatever. But, you know, I think, you know, Jesus in the demonstration of various people that he healed, you know, demonstrates that he took on the responsibility to heal. And there, I guess these are some of the things I'm starting to learn through stuff from Curry Blake. And Michael can probably speak more to all this stuff. He's been through it and, you know, or whatever, but it's kind of jogging some things of the way I thought about things and causing me to rethink, about some of the positions and understandings that I've had related to healing, casting out of demons, belief, unbelief, and all this sort of thing. So I don't know where I was going with that, but you know, I'll end it there.
Amen. Yeah, Joe, go ahead, brother.
I got two things to add. But one thing is what you were talking about, if Jesus didn't heal all, I think the best for me is what explaining John chapter 1, verse 4 and 5. It says, in him was life, and the light was the light of men. And the light shineth in darkness, and the darkness apprehended it not. He came, he is a light. So that explains everything is, everyone that comes to the light, there's no darkness at all. That explains to me quite a few. So well, my is the best. But the one thing that you were talking about a little bit earlier, Michael, about that centurion, I was just before verse 9, in my quiet time when I was studying, Lord showed me then the centurion, he came to Jesus and he said to him, you're not worthy to come under my desk. You know his authority. In other words, the centurion himself know his authority because he is under authority. Same as Jesus was under Father. He was under authority, but he also got authority. But he was talking about two different things. His soldiers and his servants. There's a difference between men. His soldiers, it is the same as Jesus' his disciples, and when he's talking about his servants, it was a church. In other words, he teaches his soldiers is doing what he's doing, and the servants doing what he's supposed to do. In other words, everybody got a purpose. You just have to fulfill the purpose of God gave you. But all that is, remember, Jesus is your head. That's all that should be done. Jesus do everything. In other words, if you don't have Jesus, you don't follow him or walk as you walk, you don't have anything. You have to walk to him because he needs obedience and love. And that's why he came to this world. He shares his obedience and his love and his grace. That's all I want to add. Thank you.
Amen. That's right. Thank you, Joe. Go ahead, Andrew or Ben. Ben.
You know, he mentioned the word soldier, and soldier is mentioned in the New Testament in another place, you know, that you're not supposed to be concerned about the affairs of life. And even this centurion was a soldier. So he really hit the nail on the head there when he said soldier. I went, you know, the soldier that's in the verse somewhere in the Gospels, not the Gospels, but not in the Gospels, where it mentions the word soldier, that he's not thinking about affairs of his life, because he's got a new life as a soldier of Christ. And so that's the authoritative part of it. That centurion spoke of, because he spoke of authority. So even a soldier, one who has no rank, has authority. So I just wanted to bring that up. That's all.
That's a great point, because we have the same authority that Jesus had. Same one, same authority. Praise God.
He dressed us up in his soldier's uniform, with the helmet, the shield, and the sword, and everything. So Paul was relating something to this soldier thing.
Yeah.
Which this centurion, I know he's a soldier physically, but it's a spiritual soldier that I'm stressing here again. So praise God, and we're supposed to obey orders, right? And I'm not going any further than that. You're supposed to obey orders as a soldier. Praise God.
What's interesting about both of those people, non-covenant people, where they weren't praying for themselves, they were praying for someone else. And God healed them. Praise God.
What's even really weird is, why would they go to Jesus? They're not caring for the affairs of their life. They're not embarrassed or anything about it. They went to Jesus because they heard about him.
And yeah,
we have heard a lot more about it.
Yeah. Well, I guarantee you, we fixed to get into a great time of revival coming up, and it's going to be God's people that bring it in. Pray it in. All right, anyone else? You know, it's amazing to me when I watch some of these non-spirit-filled preachers out there preaching the Word of God. And they'll take one scripture and talk for 2 hours on that. One scripture. And David calls them morality teachers. And he's right. That's what they do. So when God comes through to shape the church, it's going to be up to the the true church to show them what it is to be a man or woman of God, bringing the kingdom of heaven on earth. You know what? It's best to go ahead and start now. That way you'll be practiced up. I'll tell you what, I gotta tell you this much. The more you pray for people, the more the gift is improved. But you shouldn't think that away. You should think that it's gonna work every time you, you pray for somebody. Go ahead, Pat.
One thing that it is kind of interesting, I think it has to be considered at least, is that we are in the at the end, in the midst of a great falling away, and it has not only happened, this apostasy has not only happened to the non-spirit-filled side of Christianity, but it has also, unfortunately, happened to the spirit-filled side of Christianity.
Yeah.
And how it shakes out is that the non-spirit-filled, and this is in real general terms, but the non-spirit-filled side of Christianity adheres, I don't know what word I'd even use. Let's just say adheres to the written word, depends upon the written word of God, and is lacking the Spirit. And those that have received the Spirit tend to function in the powers of the spiritual realm, but are not balanced and stabilized by believing in the written word of God. And so, you have many times explosive power, and you have demonic power, and because anything spiritual is of God, or whatever the thing would be, there's a dealing in that realm that they don't have the foundational requirement in their life to anchor what happens in the spirit and tie it with the written word of God. And there's not that stability there. And likewise, the opposite effect is upon the non-spirit filled, because they're functioning in the written word and ignore everything that has to do with spirit, and have lost their sense of being able to see types and pictures and that whole thing. And so that side of Christianity tends to live under the law, or live as new covenant Christians, but living an old covenant relationship with God. So the only reason I say that is that God's going to use both of those aspects and break the walls down in both of their lives and bring them together. And the church is going to be one, like we were supposed to be, being able to receive the spirit, this, bring those two together in one, is all I can say. And then just before I shut off, are you seeing the, right now we're starting to see the development of the 10 continental divisions with Trump, the things that are happening here in the building blocks are being set in place, so to speak. So we're definitely real close to the situation, and even though we all wanted Trump in there, and you know, there's going to be some major radical changes here that are going to take place. But again, we have to realize that we're just moving into the next phase of this thing. And that one world beast kingdom is, you notice that the political left, a lot of the political left are starting to acquiesce or come, you know, soften up to Trump, so to speak. I think that is, the devil is going to start bringing people that of that side over to, into Trump's realm, so to speak, you know, because there's this whole thing is going to be, it's the last beast kingdom. And so I don't know. I think God is raising us up to be prepared to function in that realm. Anyway, I'll shut up.
Amen. This is the so-called as a type of Solomon's reign here, and that's wisdom. The Lord's given Trump wisdom. And of course, when the man child comes, very soon, maybe tomorrow, I don't know. We'll see. Okay, it's been a good night. I enjoyed it. Hope y'all did. Hope we all got something out of it. And Lord, we just thank you for answering our prayers. And thank you, Father, that you placed it in our hearts to be bold in our walk with you, Lord, to bring the light of the gospel to the lost out there and the unlearned. And we praise you and we thank you for that, Father. Lord, we thank you for giving us the tools. You've already given us the tools to have us to go out and spread the gospel with signs and wonders following. In Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord, for all that you do. Give everybody the things that they need, provision-wise, and we praise you and we thank you for that, Father, because we know it's already here, and we're just waiting on you, Lord, and we thank you for it, in Jesus' name. Thank you for blessing everybody here. I command oppression and depression out of this fellowship right now, in Jesus' name. You're not allowed. I command you to go right now, in Jesus' name. Everyone that's experiencing oppression and depression, it's gone right now. So be whole, be healed, and be delivered in Jesus' name. Thank you, Father. Glory be to God. All right, y'all be blessed. We'll see y'all, hopefully, Lord willing. We'll see you Tuesday night. One thing, while I still got the recorder going, if we have this bad weather tomorrow, we're not going to have a stream, probably. But we're not believing that, are we? Praise God. Y'all be blessed.